pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. Thanks for coming. Okay, may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular business meeting of March 11, 2019 and the work study meeting of March 25, 2019? Mrs. Del Urba, seconded by Mrs. Jors. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve the Treasurer and Business Office financial reports, an extracurricular fund report for February 2019, and the internal claims audit report for February 2019? Okay, Mrs. Donaldson, seconded by Mrs. Jors. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Passes 7-0. Mrs. Rossi, superintendent's report.
Yes, hello, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. First, I'd like to bring up our city delegates who have a report for us this evening. Welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Good evening. We are the representatives from the Babylon High School and Garrison Events of the Garden. In the Senior High Student Council is planning on a field day style event as our final fundraiser of the year. The event will take place towards the end of May after AP exams are complete. In DECA, after competing against over 3,000 students from DECA clubs across New York State, Aaron Corcoran, who placed third in New York State, and Kate Hannon, who placed fifth in New York State, will be participating and competing against over 15,000 DECA students from all of the U.S. states as well as Puerto Rico and Guam. To put this in perspective, it is as simply amazing that our little Babylon has competed against many other schools in DECA. With DECA, there is no category of separation between big schools and small schools. Hence, the fact that our students have placed to compete in the international career competition is simply amazing. Congratulations to our two girls. They will be competing in the DECA International Career Competition in Orlando, Florida. In the world languages, students at Mrs. Anderson's French 1A class visited Mrs. Schwartz's kitchens for a crepe day. Students mastered the crepe flip and filled them with traditional fillings such as fruit and chocolate. Mrs. Schwartz demonstrated proper heating and prepping strategies, and kids enjoyed an international lunch treat. Mrs. Anderson's French National Honor Society is proud to present third annual Student Faculty Talent Show on April 17, 2019 at 7. This year, we are raising money for the Be Like Brit Foundation. This organization was founded by the parents of Brittany Gendel. In 2010, their daughter traveled to Haiti on a humanitarian mission. Once there, she was overwhelmed by the culture and energy of the people. She texted her parents, sharing with them what she felt was her life's mission. Hours later, she perished in the earthquake. Her parents honor her legacy with this building that houses 66 orphans, 33 boys and 33 girls. The number 33 represents the amount of days her parents waited to hear the news of her safety. Our show will be featured students and staff singing, dancing, and reciting poetry. In the science department, four seniors participated in the JVSISEF on March 14th. At Crest Hollow Country Club. The seniors presented independent science projects dealing with oil spill recommendation and practical implementation of hydroelectric power for schools. Students at this competition are judged by science and math teachers and competed in 8 categories: behavior and social sciences, cellular and molecular biology, chemistry, engineering, and physical sciences, environmental science, math, sciences, medical and health sciences, and plant science. 27 students, 5 sophomores, 18 juniors, and 4 seniors participated in the 2019 Long Island Science Congress competition at St. Anthony's High School. Students presented independent projects dealing with environmental issues, physical and general biology. Long Island Science Congress Incorporation is a justified exhibit of science projects by students of Nassau County and Suffolk County Middle Schools, schools and senior high schools, sponsored by the Long Island sections of the Science Teachers Association of New York State. On Friday, March 18th, Babylon's 10th grade research students had their first opportunity in high school to present their independent projects at Malloy College's Kathy B. graduate students from other Suffolk and Nassau County high schools. Students gave presentations on their research projects to Lloyd College and science faculty members as well as to their peers. This allowed students to participate in their peer review process, which is one of the central tenets of scientific research. Students had the chance to be more active participants in their presentations of their peers and helped to create a sense of scientific community with their peers. The Babylon brought two projects to the Molloy competition, and both were environmental based. The first project focused on fertilizer's role in algae blooms, specifically nitrogen-based fertilizers that do not contain potassium. The other project was trying to figure out if salt-absorbing bacteria could be used to treat grass before flooding, leading to a higher survival rate of grass. All students had the opportunity to receive feedback from the judges and their peers, which will help the students with their presenting skills and their implementation of their scientific process, as this was their first time competing in science. Each project represented Babylon, as well as we are very proud of their sophomore research students. Mrs. Dixon and Mr. Marangi are so proud of their 9th and 10th grade STEAM students, who successfully grew a lot of fresh herbs throughout their study of aquaponics. Those herbs were donated to Mrs. Schwartz's, who, along with her 10th and 11th grade culinary arts 3 students, planned an incredible feast of the most delicious pico de gallo and dill dip with fresh veggies. The party was success, and the STEAM students were grateful for their fresh homemade snacks and the work of their culinary counterparts.
Thank you.
In the middle of March, students in Mrs. Jones's 10th grade class, including myself, ELA classes, visited the library to examine artifacts related to the setting and time period of Pride and Prejudice novel by Jane Austen. Traveling in groups around the library, students enjoyed the sights and sounds of early 19th century England. At each learning activity, students were tasked with completing challenges relating to early 19th century life. These stations included parlor games, British class systems, fashion, dance, and romantic courtship. Students provided positive feedback and cited the British Tea Party as their favorite station. Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Beener collaborated in the design, implementation, and learning objectives of the lesson. Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Beener were delighted with the outcome, as students were able to discuss at length the various social issues typical of the Regency era and how these events influenced the characters in the novel. These learning activities were intended to set the stage for the corresponding library research project investigating the world of Jane Austen. Students created Microsoft Sway presentations evaluating the role in which early 19th century British society shaped the motivations of Austen's character. Mrs. Beener demonstrated how to navigate Microsoft Sway and created a video tutorial explaining how to add audio and record narrations for their informational cards. Students did an outstanding job, and Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Beener were even treated to a lively demonstration of waltz dancing. This research unit thoroughly immersed students in the culture of the Regency period and facilitated a deeper connection to classical literature. Images and videos can be viewed on the library website. From the Drama Club, Mamma Mia was a great success. The spring musical was one of, for the record books, Mamma Mia sold more than 1,200 tickets to our 3 performances, including a packed house on Friday night. The entire production team of Mr. Story, Mr. Hugh, Mr. Leach, Miss Oliveri, and Mrs. Napolitano are extremely proud of the nearly 100 students involved between the cast, crew, and pit orchestra. Headed by an unbelievably talented senior class, this show propelled itself into one of our strongest musicals in recent memory. The talent of Babylon mixed with the catchy tunes of ABBA was a perfect recipe for success. Well done to all who were involved. From Social Studies Department, on March 14th and 15th, the 8th grade class of BHS participated in an overnight field trip to Washington, D.C. While in Washington, the students visited the Lincoln Memorial, the Vietnam War Memorial, and the Korean War Memorial to help further their understanding of this history that they are studying this year. A highlight for some of the students was a visit to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, where they were able to meet and talk with the survivors of the Holocaust. A visit to Arlington National Cemetery allowed students to see the changing of the guard ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and better understand the ultimate sacrifice made by members of our armed forces. Overall, the trip was a huge success, and the students hopefully gained a deeper insight into American history. in the Fine Arts Department. Last month was Youth Art Month, so the library was now exploding with all great artwork, which I'm assuming somewhere here. During Art Week, students had an opportunity to create two collaborate pieces during their lunch periods, the Panther and the Sunflower, on display here. Again, I don't know where they are. They also participated in Make Art Mondays, and our STEAM classes jumped in as well. You can see those here as well. Some of our students participate in the AAA contest. We had one video and four media posters entered. We had 18 of our students participate in the Art in STEM eSchool contest. We hope to see some of the students work on one of the login pages soon. We had 20 of our students participate in the NYSADA Olympics of the Arts up in Saratoga Springs last month. The students participated in fashion, architecture, drawing, graphic design, and sculpture. You can see those long-term projects here as well. 9 students participated in the NYSADA portfolio last week, all received the highest rating of distinguished with five getting the special distinction of distinguished with mastery. More Babylon students will participate in the May adjudication. The Umbrella Project is on display outside the library in the hall near the courtyard. Our Studio One class has created 18 umbrellas. Another one was a collaborative project painted during our Art Week, and 5 were designed by our NAHS students. And finally, the art students are collaborating with the French Honor Society and helping to create 66 portraits for the children living in the Be Like Brit house in Haiti. And they will be on display during the French Talent Show on this Wednesday. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, everybody. Great job.
News and notes around the district?
Sure. Just very quickly tonight, first of all, I want to applaud all of the students who were part of the musical Mamma Mia. It was terrific, just as our student council representative said, probably the best show ever, right? And I think the best one I've ever seen in my career at any high school. I mean, it was just terrific. And for those of you who have students who were in the show, congratulations to your students who performed. It was wonderful. I did want to mention some accolades. First, I'd like to congratulate, we had a number of students who were inducted last week into the National Honor Society, as well as the Junior National Honor Society, and that was a lovely evening here in Rowe Hall, so congratulations to all of them. And then I want to end, as you all know, the music department returned yesterday evening from their 4-day trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. 144 students from the Senior High Chorus, Symphonic Wind, Senior High Orchestra, Jazz Ensemble, and Senior High Band represented Babylon at a World Strides Music Festival. All of the groups received a rating of silver, and the concert band, which was a combined group consisting of the Symphonic Winds and the Senior High Band, won first place in their category. In addition, student Signe Altbacher received the Maestro Award, which is given out by the adjudicators of the fair to students who display extraordinary music ability and sensitivity. To cap that off, at the award ceremony, she also won the Ovation Award, so congratulations to the Wonderful. That is supposedly the most prestigious student award given out at the festival. It is given to a student whose contribution to their musical program transcends the making of music. So congratulations to all the student performers. In addition, I would like to congratulate the music teachers who also accompanied the children. That would be Mr. Kroll, Mr. Leach, Ms. Tomei, and Ms. Turk, as well as the parents who went on that trip. We thank them. And I do want to just display to the board this beautiful plaque. It says, World Strides on Stage, Williamsburg 2019, Babylon Senior High School Symphonic Winds Silver Award. So quite an accomplishment. And a beautiful plaque. So we'll have to find a spot for that to be displayed. So congratulations to everyone who went on that trip.
Well, just so you know, we'll start with the news. It was outstanding. I had the privilege to go on the trip as a chaperone. And as important as the performances, which were really extraordinary, they did battle with Brad. And the kids were just fantastic the whole time. No surprises, didn't expect anything less, but they just reinforced once again what a great group of musicians and what a great group of people they are.
It's amazing.
They really are. I mean, because 140
small little off. District of ours,
yeah.
We're programming
they,
that, right?
They got out there and they played their hearts out and they had a great time. It was perfect.
Doesn't surprise us at all. Tonight we'll be presenting budget presentation number 5 on the adoption, and that is all I have for this evening.
Okay.
For that report.
Okay.
So moving on to budget. Does someone have the clicker?
I have the clicker.
Okay.
Would you like it?
I'll click. Sure.
There you go.
So after this presentation, we will entertain questions specifically on the budget. I want to thank everybody who came out tonight to learn about the budget. I know we see some parents here, so thank you for joining us. This is the final presentation. We are adopting the budget tonight. The Board of Education has a resolution to adopt. I'm not reading through all these slides. These are slides you've seen before, but we believe it's definitely a budget that not only maintains, but enhances programs here in Babylon. As we always talk about, our school value is balanced by our home values and vice versa. Tonight we're going to go into some terminology, and I'm going to let Dr. Daly take this slide. There is a difference between the tax levy, the assessed valuation, and the tax rate. So do you want to talk a little bit about these terms first?
Sure. I thank you and good evening. I won't read the slides, but I'll basically say that the budgeting terms are often commingled, and it's easy to see why they are often confused. First and foremost, the budget, the proposed budget. That is what the public votes on the third Tuesday in May. They don't vote on the tax levy. Tax levy is on the revenue side of the budget. The budget process is two-sided. You have the expenditures, the proposed budget, and then on this side you have the revenues, and the two have to balance. The largest source of revenue in our district, the overwhelmingly large source of revenue, 80%, is the tax levy. That's the amount that we go out and we collect from the residential and non-residential properties in the town of Babylon. That's about 80%. 18% of revenue comes in the form of state aid, and the balance, I'd say the 2%, is a combination of other income and fund balance. So where does the tax rate come in? The tax rate is a mathematical factor that is determined by the town of Babylon. That is the factor that's applied to each of your individual assessed values for your homes or your businesses. The idea there is if you have a property that is larger than your neighbors and your house is significantly larger, your assessed value will be higher. You should be paying more taxes than the person next door has half the property and half the house. How do we determine how much they go up? It's the tax rate. We don't determine that. So it's proposed budget, tax levy, largest form of revenue. That's what the cap is on. So when you put a budget before the voters, you have to make sure that the tax levy is going to increase enough to balance the budget. Assessed value I just talked about. You have an individual assessed value, and it is the assessed value for the entire Babylon School District. That's the accumulation of all residential, non-residential properties. Tax rate, mathematical factor determined by the town of Babylon, how much each person's taxes go up.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, so we did receive a little bit of extra state funding that came on April 1st, 2019, when the New York State budget was approved. And this slide, I know this might be hard for some people to see, so this will be up on our website first thing tomorrow morning. But this slide here talks about the state aid when the budget from the state was adopted. Final figures. Without building aid, we got approximately 4.19%, a little over 4% of an increase in state aid. With building aid, which is starting to kick in now, we received about 16 16.5%, 16, a little over 16.5% of state aid. So the building aid is starting to kick in from the bond renewal project. Anything you want to say on that slide?
No, but again, understand that state aid is broadly categorized into two areas, expense-driven and non-expense-driven, meaning the expense-driven aid, you have to spend them to get the aid. Foundation aid, which is on the top, which was the category that only went up 0.75%, or a whopping total of $41,000. That's the no-strings-attached aid. That's the really important aid. And I think the travesty in this whole process is the annual change in the CPI was 2.44%, and that's been established. So the tax levy can only go up 2%, which is the cap. The aid, though, on the other side, only went up 0.75%. Everything else on there, we're spending that money
to get it back,
to get the aid on each of those categories, BOCES, high cost excess, transportation, and as Mrs. Rossi alluded to, the biggest category is the building aid. But guess what? We're fully phased in, and we're paying that full mortgage payment on the $26.6 million bond referendum that the county approved several years ago. So we're spending that, and this is the aid we're getting.
Good point to make that. This next slide goes into detail about the current revenue stream and how the tax rate is scheduled out.
So if you're looking from left to right, we have this again in broad categories. I talked to you about the state aid. It shows what we got in 18-19 and what we're going to receive in 19-20. Other income. There's a whole group of other areas in which we receive income. We receive monies from the library. We receive monies from other school districts that may send children here. There's a number of different categories. We lump them together. We refer to that as other income because none of them by themselves are really worth a spot on the slide. Then the other very important area, of course, is fund balance. We have, and boards before this one, have appropriated certain amounts of monies left over from the prior year to offset the amount that they could raise in tax levy or had another income. If you didn't have fund balance, the only way to balance the scales would be to reduce programs. We're fortunate enough here that we're able to each year appropriate a certain dollar amount from the prior year, finishing up the prior year ahead on the expenditure side and ahead on the revenue side. That's cumulative. We're going to appropriate $1.6 million to balance the scales next year. Property taxes, we'll talk a little bit about this. That's the amount that's capped. Our current 18-19 tax levy per the cap formula can only increase 2.13% next year. We have our 18-19 budget, our 19-20 budget, the difference, $1.8 million or 3.42%. On the bottom of the slide, we do this every year. We take the average assessed value. The average home assessed value in Babylon is $4,300. We project out and assume that there's no change in assessed value because we don't know that until August. We don't have anything to do with that. We control the tax levy. But if the assessed value didn't change, we project out, and the increase in cost on an average home in Babylon next year, total cost for the year would be $206.06, 17.17 cents per month.
So tonight we're proposing that you adopt a budget at $54,850,000,000. The budget-to-budget dollar increase is $1.8 million and change. That represents a 0.0342% or 3%, a little under 3.5% budget-to-budget increase. The allowable tax levy for the 19-20 school year, as Dr. Daly said, is established at 2.13%, which represents 891 $664 levy to levy. And here is our go-to slide. This is the actual tax levy calculation formula that we've been showing each session throughout this entire budget process. And on the very bottom line, you'll see the percent for the tax levy, that's the allowable levy, to go up 2.13%. And you can see within this formula all of the offsets that the state allows as we drill down to that 2.13%.
So we do this every year. We'd like to see how we're doing compared to other school districts navigating through the tax cap. And you can see the tax cap was introduced for the first time in 2012-13. What we have on the left column there is budget increase percentages, and then it's further broken down by Babylon's increase, the average for Long Island, the average for Suffolk County. And you can see where we fare all the way down. We don't know what the percentages will be yet for Long Island or Suffolk County, but you can see for the most part, in close to every year, you know, we've been below or right at the average. Shifting over to the right side there, tax levy percentage increase, once again, you can see where we are in comparison to Long Island and Suffolk County. The one thing I do have to point out is there are years where our tax levy increases are over 2%. But that's the formula allows that because there are certain expenditures that are excluded from the cap calculation. And when you encounter situations like that, you have to apply those exclusions. If you don't, you're only going to hurt yourself down the road because you have to remember this cap on the tax levy. 1 year to the next. If you don't go to your max in 1 year, you're never going to make that up because the next year, this next year's percentage increase is going to be based on the prior year. So one of the slides that obviously is telling on how the community has supported the budget is the yes vote plurality in the extreme right column. And you can see we've been averaging for the most part well over 70% yes vote. I think that's a phenomenon that has existed in a lot of school districts on Long Island right now because the increases have been modest at best. So what you have here is our big group slide. We've grouped this into categories according to the ST3 document. Now, I can tell you when you came in on the right, there was a side-by-side budget, 18-19, 19-20. And you see that set of numbers in the left column. We don't make up those numbers. Those numbers are established by the Uniform System of Accounts for school districts in New York State. All school districts budget in accordance with that numerical system. What we've done is we've grouped them. And we started out, you could see the Board of Education, what we budgeted in 18-19, what we're budgeting for in the proposed budget for 19-20, dollar change, percent change. And you could continue that through, and you could see where the money is in schools. It's clearly where it should be. It's down in teaching regular school. It's in special education. And, of course, it's in the fringe benefits that, by contract, we have to provide for those people that are doing the work in the classroom. So those are the big, big three. That's 70, at least 70% of the total budget. Along the bottom, you could see the numbers we've already spoken about, the total increase, 1.85, 815, and as a percentage, that's 3.42%.
Budget to budget.
Budget to budget.
Okay. This slide basically shows the expenditure distribution. A little under 50% of a school district's budget, and this is not uncommon, would go towards salaries. The other parts of the pie are divided up a little over 20% for employee benefits, 3% for equipment, supplies and textbooks, almost 2%, contractual services, 12.2%, BOCES 8.41% and debt service at 8.07%. Along those lines, here is our revenue pie chart. As Dr. Daly mentioned, a good portion of our revenues come from the local tax base through the collection of dollars. That would be your tax levy, representing 79% of the budget. That's how we pretty much fund our schools here in Babylon. We get a little over 17% in state aid, and then other incomes, as Dr. Daly discussed, as well as the constant $1.6 million that we offset the budget through appropriated fund balance. So some of the highlights of the 1920 school district budget. We went through these last time, so I'm going to roll quickly through these for some of the new people here, but we will be maintaining educationally sound, low class sizes. That's at the K through 12 level. Obviously, a full-day kindergarten. Support service needs for students who need special services. That would include students with 504s, IEPs, as well as other students who might have academic intervention needs. We continue to offer a full complement of existing advanced placement courses at Babylon Senior High School, as well as our commitment to scientific research, STEAM, K through 12, the Project Lead the Way initiatives, that includes the engineering and the computer science pathways, as well as other programs that we've established for many, many years. Some highlights of the proposed budget also include us maintaining all current K through 12 music and art offerings, cultural art programs K through 12. That includes cultural art programs for social emotional needs, metacognition, also mindfulness. All interscholastic athletic team funding is maintained. Funding for K through 12 clubs and extracurricular activities is also a big part of this budget. Talked about that. The budget also includes funding for services who go to children that are placed outside of the district at our BOCES centers, as well as our career and tech ed programs. That is something that Babylon really, really champions. Students participating in the Wilson Tech programs, which I'm really proud that this board has continued to champion for many, many years. We had a presentation last month, from 2 months ago, from the students there, and we see the benefits of those programs. Some of the enhancements with the upcoming budget: we have an increased investment in our One World Computing Initiative, with ongoing technological infrastructural upgrades, as well as needed smart board upgrades district-wide. I want to thank the tech team. They continue to do an outstanding job. We just finished the year one of the rollout, the one-to-one rollout, and it was a wonderfully smooth year thanks to all the help that, and the vision that you and your team provided. We also look to enhance the board's commitment to the K-5 STEAM initiative. Each summer the board and I meet, we have a retreat, and STEAM was one of the areas that, we were always doing a great job in the 7 through 12, but we really focused on bringing STEAM initiatives down this year to the K through 2 level. So that will be looping up to the 3, 4, 5 level, as well as grade 6, where we do have a dedicated science teacher right now, also in grade 6. It also addresses the board's commitment to world language instruction K through 12. Some other enhancements: we will be bringing on the new next-gen science standards kits now next year for grades 3 through 5. Keep in mind that grades K through 2, those kits were already implemented this current school year. We also have in the budget a proposed assistant principal at Babylon Memorial Grade School who will provide additional leadership and supervision for that growing population at that school, as well as necessary instructional material upgrades throughout the district in the content areas. The budget also restores a K through 2 library media specialist / AIS provider. That AIS provider, depending on who we hire, will provide library media services, as well as be able to push into classrooms, providing intervention in reading and or mathematics. Okay. Now, this next slide is somewhat new. This budget season, you will see when you go to the polls, a capital reserve referendum. That will be asking voters to approve the use of capital reserve funds. A few years back, we had to put up a referendum that had the voters approve establishing the capital reserve, which was approved. But now when you want to start using the monies from that capital reserve, you have to go back to the voters to have them approve now us using monies. So the amount will be up to $500,000 for the purpose of completing the following capital improvements.
Can I just comment on this for a second?
Yeah, you can. Yes.
So I just, you know, again, I just want to expound a little bit on that, because it's a historical moment in Babylon to have now and be able to access capital reserve funds. What's important to understand, this is at no expense to the taxpayers. This is not part of the budget. This is something separate. As Mrs. Rossi said, though, there's a really kind of quirky aspect to it that you have to have voter authorization to establish and then voter authorization to expend. But it will be totally out of reserves. We will receive 46% state aid on everything that we do. So it's kind of a neat milestone for the district.
Thank you. Some of the projects that we're looking to do, well, these are the three main projects that we've approved to go on the referendum. This is based on feedback from our facilities lead, as well as some feedback from staff. Unfortunately, you know, we were only able to pick a few projects to begin with, but you'll notice one of the things, and this is really a safety topic for us that we have to address, is the are the roll hall exterior steps right outside here leading out to Railroad Avenue. We need to replace those steps and put a handicap ramp. We also wish to renovate three high school bathrooms, the boys and girls cafeteria bathrooms and the girls first floor main hallway bathroom. And then finally at Babylon Memorial Grade School, the third and fourth grade wing hallway door replacements. So that building will have uniformity throughout the whole building with those special doors that we've been putting in other places throughout the district. So that is what the Capital Reserve seeks to do if approved. Just want to remind everybody, we have a budget hearing on Tuesday, May 13th at 7:30 p.m. here in this library, followed by the board vote and trustee election on Tuesday, May 21st. From 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. at night, right here at the Babylon High School East Gymnasium.
Is the budget hearing Monday or Tuesday?
Sorry. It is Monday.
Okay.
Monday, May 13th. May 13th, right? Yes.
Yeah, it is the 13th.
It's the 13th, but that's just typo Monday. May 13th, we have to fix that.
Change that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Tuesday, May 21st, is your unified budget vote in all districts. Okay? Yes. Questions now on the budget, if people have any.
So if you have any specific questions just on the budget, not agenda items yet, feel free to approach the podium and ask any questions pertaining to the budget presentation. So at this point, if you have any questions.
I still want to make it clear that I don't think we need a supervising another administrator over at the grade school. I think it seems to be $123,000 salary position, and I think the money could be better spent on other programs. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions on the budget presentation?
Lynn, could you just walk through the salary because the superintendent? Because it's not actually, it's a little bit different than what it's like.
Can you, the salary of what? We didn't hear.
The superintendent's
the line item for the superintendent. If we did something, I don't think it's, what we're doing with it is not exactly what people may think it is.
Can you
talk
on that?
I think
Dr.
Daly should comment.
It's
not appropriate for Mrs.
Rossi
to.
Sure. So what you have during the course of last school year, the board renegotiated the terms of the superintendent's contract, which in effect reduced the allotment of vacation days. So there were not as many available for her use. In exchange for that, the superintendent was compensated per day on her based on her per diem salary. It was agreed then that that wouldn't be impacted last year, but would become part of the salary package moving forward. This is the first year that that's hitting. That would be the number that I think you're looking at from the standpoint of the increase. Excuse me?
Buying back the days.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
Commonplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Pete, would you just walk through in terms of when we've gone over the 2% and it's tied to the bond issue, so if you could explain that to the audience, and also the fund balance that we replenish it every year, so it's not that we just continue to pull out $1.6 million?
Sure. So there's two, I think, two different questions. The first dealt specifically with the tax cap calculation. So this was initially sold as a 2% tax cap. And everybody went out and said, that's great. So taxes are never going to increase before more than 2%. Well, really are they 2%? Because of the way the formula has been designed, it allows districts, again, to take advantage of the exclusions. So in years that we had this big, big construction debt coming in, voter-approved capital construction debt is the most common exclusion that districts take advantage of. So when we were introducing $1 million worth of construction debt into the budget, that $1 million was excluded from the cap calculation. And in effect, allowed us to go over 2%. Whatever that $1 million was over 2%, that was our maximum allowable levy limit. So that may have been a year where our tax levy increased 3.2%. People were saying, well, how could that be? Well, it's very simple. It's the formula. The formula allows voter-approved capital construction debt to be exempt. And that's why you have these wild variations when you see a side-by-side in Newsday. Every district has something going on. Most are involved with capital construction projects. The other part, fund balance. If you're budgeting responsibly, the conventional wisdom is you budget liberally on the expense side and conservatively on the revenue side. Those state aid numbers that we put up there, I can't say we're going to get all that, because all the expense-driven aids that the governor says we're going to get aid on are based on expense estimates we gave them at the end of this past school year. So if we don't spend that money, or we incur more expenses in perhaps excess cost aid, which is state aid on the costs associated with educating special needs population. If we have two or three students come into the district between now and the time the school year starts, the expenses associated with educating those children, we will receive aid on. Those numbers are not in the numbers we had provided them. So that's the revenue side. On the expense side, because we cannot overspend our budget, and there are clearly expense categories that at this point in time, we can't predict with even close to 100% accuracy for next school year. Again, special ed, fuel costs, snow, removal, needs in classrooms. We have situations come up where we have changes in IEPs between now and the end of the year. A current placement may not be working. And the experts believe that we have to try something different. Trying something different may mean more resources. We have to have those resources in the budget to do what is best for children. It's irresponsible to budget any other way. So what we do and what most districts do is at the end of each year, it's a combination of what we have unexpended and what we've received in excess of what we thought we were getting in revenue. We put them together. It's cumulative 1 year to the next. We now have about, in total, $8 million. That's a long time. It's taken us a long time to accumulate that. But each year, we're appropriating, we have been, an amount about $1.6 million. If we didn't do that, the scale would be off 1.6. And where do we go to balance it? Expense side. 1.6 would have to come off the balance because the tax cap is set. The tax levy is set.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Bailey. Okay, moving on to committee reports. Audit Committee, Mrs. Donaldson.
Yes, hello. So we just received some fee control reports from our internal auditor. So Dr. Bailey, I'll be in touch in the next couple of days so we can set up a meeting to review those. And our independent auditors will be back in the week of June 17th to continue working on this annual audit.
Okay, thank you very much. Finance Committee, Mrs. Jors.
Yes, we met tonight, and then we have nothing on the schedule.
Very nice, thank you. Buildings and Grounds, Mr.
Benzavega. Thanks. We have not met recently, but just to reiterate something that Superintendent Dr. Daly said regarding the Capital Reserve Fund. He actually had two of them. One was the fund for $1 million, the other was the fund for $10 million. We've got about 1.9 in the account. So as Dr. Daly and the Superintendent said, this is money we already have. So it's not hitting anybody's pocketbook. So that's an important point to make, so I just want to reiterate. A little history, we started that fund basically as part of the, following the vote for the bond issue to make sure that we had enough money to do things like replace turf for carpet or if there's other stuff that came along where it might be kind of a big hit, so we had money that we could tap. But as Dr. Daly said, we do need more approval to use it. Also, we have talked about this at previous Buildings and Grounds meeting. At a certain point, somewhere in probably the near future, we're going to need to start talking about another bond for a couple different reasons to complete some work. And so that is kind of off in the future a little bit. That's why.
Okay, thank you. Technology Committee, Mr. Montalto.
Yes. On Tuesday, April 9th, Babylon hosted IT directors for a look into the Office 365 and our one-to-one program. A big thanks goes to John Michelle, Melissa Callahan for demonstrating how to use Office 365 in their classrooms. Also, big thank you to all the student representatives who gave clear, concise perspectives on the tools and program. They are Catherine Benzavanger, Catherine Hernandez, Agnes Golden, Haviani Kumar, Sydney Allbacker, and Dylan Panette. Also, we are on track to migrate our phone system to VoIP, which is voice over IP, the last week in June. So they'll change the phone system out then. And the last thing is, InFocus has announced they're closing their LED board division. That's our new smart screens. So they will not be providing us with them anymore, but they will cover all the warranties. We're looking into QSonic, who we looked at in the past, and they will match InFocus's prices for the first year. So we'll try to finish up.
Okay.
Get some more
thank you.
And that's it.
Great, thank you. Curriculum Committee, Ms. Delarga.
Yes, I'm in today. We're getting ready to, after the break, we'll distribute to the teachers for the mini grants and we can apply for them. And we also just kind of started a conversation looking at lateness and tardy and how that may be affecting.
Thank you. Policy Committee, Ms. O'Brien.
We haven't met since the last board meeting, but we will be meeting on May 9th, and we'll be looking at our field use policies.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, moving ahead to Agenda Item 8, Board Agenda Items. Any questions from visitors on agenda items? Please approach the podium and state your name. Any questions on agenda items? Okay, any board discussion on agenda items?
Question on item 5. I don't object to it. I think she did a great job. That's what they're talking about here. But why are we getting this now? Well, we're done with the 2018.
The name was not provided way back when we did this.
Oh,
early on. And she
did a great job.
She did a great job. Yeah, we have to pay her. So, yeah. I think that was a position that was blank in the whole slate, and they were trying to find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion on agenda items? Okay, seeing no further discussion, may I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 17? Ms. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Montato. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 17? Mrs. Donaldson, seconded by Mrs. Jours. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Passes 7-0. Okay, moving right along here. Item number 10, other business. Mrs. Strassi, do you have any other business?
I want the board to start thinking about the annual reorganizational meeting. I'm going to be sending home in Friday's packet, online packet to you, some possible dates. So if all of you can get back to me with your summer dates, that would be great. Unless you want to talk about it now, but
we had thrown some dates out. I think I don't think Julie can be here. Whatever that is.
Yes, it is. The
15th is what we're looking at.
July 15th?
Oh, the 15th, I can't. Okay.
Evening. Okay.
I'm teaching, but I should be back.
Okay. So that has gone out, and Mrs. Rossi's students and the others.
You know, I'd rather we talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
I'll send it out to you some dates, okay?
Okay, now. Yeah. Maybe we'll incorporate all that together, retreat dates, as well as the reorg, as well as summer meetings.
Correct.
Okay, so everything's going to come out, so everybody has their calendar ready in order to do that. Okay. Any other business, Mrs. Rossi?
No, that's all I have. Oh, actually, I do have.
They have an ad. Go ahead. Okay.
I do have one suggestion to bring out to the Board of Education tonight. This past weekend, you know, we always allow our fields to be used by Babylon community groups, people who are residents here. Are allowed to fill out a field use form and use the fields. There was an outside group from Lynbrook playing with our Babylon lacrosse teams, and they thought it was appropriate to start grilling on the fields. So, thankfully, I got a call immediately from one of our wonderful parents and got in touch with our security, and they immediately started to shut down shop. So I want to bring up, the fact that our community groups love to use the fields. Those are their fields. But we don't have security when outside groups use our fields. That's really something the district cannot really support financially. And nor is it our responsibility, if they want to use our fields, to provide them security through school district funding. So I want the board to start maybe having a discussion. If there are outside groups that want to utilize our fields, just like they do utilizing Rowe Hall or other inside spaces, they are charged for a custodial fee and a security fee. I think it's a discussion that we have to think about. Because, many times they'll want someone there, but being fiscally responsible, it's really not the district's right, nor should it, I think, in my opinion, provide them security. So that's something I want the board to think about. That would be my recommendation.
In order to start that conversation, is there a way to find out on average how much it would cost to have a security guard for whatever organization is using the field? If they're using it for a season, let's say, how many hours they're using it for, how much would that security cost?
It would be the guard's hourly rate.
And we would be able to know in advance how many hours.
Yes, because on the field, it's on. Oh, that's all on
the permit. Which we're going to be looking at. Okay.
Yes. So for, let's say, our outside group puts in a permit for every Saturday in the spring from 9 to 1. We know how many Saturdays there are, how many hours, and you'd have to have coverage for that.
Okay. And another question I would have right off the top is, would it be an option if they were using the field? Is it an option to have security, or are we insisting? Would we
most districts that do this, it is all in, you either make them do it
or they can't.
They can't. And,
okay.
You know, I think another upside to this, we were having some vandalism a couple of years ago when everything was opened, and we decided as a board, you know, let's just have one opening. And that came at the suggestion of security. And that has been working really well for us. However, we probably need someone there. Goodness forbid, if a vehicle had to get through a larger portion, it's a good idea to have somebody there to open up that sliding, that rolling side where they can drive on.
So right now, that's an issue. Either on policy or in open discussion here, what we're charging as we're using for non-educational groups that are using the roll hall or the gym at the elementary school. So that's what I'm saying. So we can have those numbers so we can say what we're doing here.
We can also set it up as a work study or a building's grant.
So what I'm saying is I think it's great to discuss. I just want a little more information
sure.
so we can make an educated, you know,
just even
decision.
See the form and
yep.
the, you know, just take a look at the
right.
form.
Maybe
so
we can put that in the weekly notes.
Yes.
Put the forms in the notes.
Any other business?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question for clarification because a couple people asked me and I wasn't totally sure if it says policy or whatever, but when our students go on overnight trips, do we have is it a policy or just kind of a good sense thing like none of our chaperones are having adult beverages while they're on the job, so to speak, whether on staff or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
I just have a couple things, but one thing I want to mention, I think this week is an NCAA signing event. So I'm hoping that even on Facebook, maybe we could think of for next year, not this year obviously, but a career day signing event for kids, which everyone's very close to program time. I would like to see if we can, you know, put the planning in for next year or do something like that.
It's NCAA.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've right. The military also this year.
Right. So then for next year, maybe. But
yeah.
Also, there's a little program called Cradle Recycler. Sounds silly, but all those markers that would go in the landfill are free. They will take all markers and just put a little, like, you know, Sharpies and take them and just recycle so that we're not just throwing our garbage cans. So, if even PTA wants to get involved in that or your school wants to do something like that, I think, like, you know, they don't do it for personal people, so it has to be a school thing, so it'd be nice to do that. And also for next year, if we can look into it, I have no background knowledge of it, you know, I haven't seen it, but there's a documentary called If They Had Known, and it's about the risk of the current party culture with controlling alcohol and drugs. And I know we do lots of programs for kids, but I really think that's something that we haven't addressed yet in the population. It's something that doesn't necessarily affect them right now, but the years following, we've had a lot of incidents and things happen. So I want to make sure that we're getting the message out to the kids.
And
thank you.
To add on that, what you said about the NCAA signing, I've also seen my signs for kids who maybe over the postseason they get signed to whatever other jobs, like, and, you know, future those kids as well. Have a great opportunity.
Okay, Ms. Thompson?
Oh, yeah, I just want to make a point of clarification on the district calendar. On Monday, June 3rd, we have the Regents exam and World Religion Geography listed. Are we giving the new exam or are we giving an exam on June 20th?
Sorry, what?
The new framework exam on June 3rd, or is the district giving that exam?
Yes.
Are they taking both?
Just doing the old.
We're just
yes,
doing the
we're
old
just,
this
we're
year.
Doing, we're taking the last year.
Prepping, though, are you ready for it for next year?
Yeah.
We put it on the calendar because we were still weighing the benefits of which exam was going to be best for our students at this time.
I think we want to make sure parents know that date does not apply.
Mm-hmm. Later in the month. Yeah.
Well, the date on the 3rd, we're not doing. This is, we're not doing the new one, so that's
right,
the one that has
right, but the one later in the month is the actual
yes.
date.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
That's
one
of
those.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other business or comments? Okay. Now, representatives of organizations, please approach the podium and state your name, any organizations that want to approach. Okay, questions and comments from visitors on non-agenda items? Please approach the podium and say your name.
Good evening, Robert Stroh. Several board meetings ago, I asked for a request for bond work that was not addressed, that wasn't addressed because we didn't have money in the bond, and I never received any information.
Do we have that, Mr. President, we had the list from the buildings and grounds.
Yeah, we can get that from you. I apologize you haven't gotten it. We'll get it to you.
I'm here quite often, you know.
What's that? You
I'm here to? Quite often.
I apologize.
My other question is, I asked about this line-by-line item earlier in the budget presentation. I think I even asked in January. And last board meeting, another resident and I asked about it, and we were told that it might be a legal issue. I've been investigating, and I haven't found out any reason why we can't get this earlier than the budget. And could you cite me the law or cite me the, where I can go to find out whether it's legal or not to get this document? Because I don't believe it is, because I've been coming to these board meetings for 13 years, and we've always gotten them prior to the budget. Always. And I don't believe it's a legal issue. And if it is a legal issue, could you please have your counsel address it?
Yes, we will.
In public.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes.
Okay. And a third item. I was talking to a neighbor of mine, had her 50th reunion, and she gives kudos to the superintendent and the staff for being very courteous, you know, courteous during the walkthrough. So I just want to make mention of that.
Thank you. I will get a response to you tomorrow.
Can I clarify?
Do you have it?
No, Ms. Berry did get a response. She didn't get the response she wanted, but she got a response from Dr. Daly, and I have it here if anybody's interested in looking at it.
Okay, what was your response?
What I did politely say to you was that the budget would be available tonight. That budget will include all expenditure categories, and you can extrapolate from that whatever you would like.
Okay,
if you want information, let me finish, please. If you would like specific information on an aspect of the budget, I suggest you submit a FOIL request because, well, then...
Really?
Come on.
Dr. Dale, I've been doing this for over a decade.
I certainly know that.
You've got to be kidding me.
So what part of the athletic budget would you like?
All of it. The athletic department cost the district to run?
Do you want transportation included in that?
You don't have to, but you could throw
that
in. That's a little aside.
No, Ms. Berry, that's why we have a FOIL process, so that when a resident asks a question, they can get back exactly what they asked for, and if that information then is misinterpreted,
I'll do it your way. It's loud and clear here that you're, I mean, really, you didn't even acknowledge that part of the email. I'm going to finish. If you would like, we can compare emails, because every single time I email you, you give me a hard time. Last year, I emailed you a very simple question, asked the question, signed my name with my cell phone number on it, and your response was, Mrs. Berry, can you give me a phone number that I can reach you at? That was my response, okay? Now, don't tell me you're not playing games when I ask a question.
I'm not playing games.
Okay, Mrs. Rossi will call you tomorrow. No, I'm going to ask you to have a seat. No, I know, but your time is over. We're not going to have this discussion until I finish. Well, that's fine.
I'm going to stand here until I finish.
Do you have a question? What is the question?
I asked my question. Don't get nasty.
No, you're yelling, so we want to know what your question is.
Because I'm not getting a response. You guys don't like me because I ask questions.
What are you asking? It's in the report here. Just go on.
It's in the report, but I'm asking him to add up all the stuff that's important.
Because I'm not here
on all the item numbers, okay, Nick? That's the reason.
What's your issue?
Okay. And my question was not answered in the email, and he said he did in quite a nasty way. So I'm going
At your tone right now, I can understand why. Look at your tone.
I emailed him. It was in an email, Nick. I'll show it to you.
Mrs. Berry, I will call you personally tomorrow with the information you want.
Okay. And there is no rule or law that we cannot have an itemized thing before today.
It's not
we got it loud and clear. You said it three times, and you said you think. You know that that is not a rule or a law.
Well,
you know
she was.
That,
I just want to be clear. She was investigating in her tenure here.
Can I asked Dr. Daly, and he answered the question. He answered that question. There is one. There isn't.
There's not.
That he knows of.
Okay.
So stop the nonsense. Be honest.
Tell a real reason why you don't want multiple drafts out there that give misinformation.
I get it. So then just say that. I'm telling you right now.
Since last week, when we asked the question three other times, Trish.
Because we didn't know if it was the law,
hence why it was investigated.
It wasn't answered that way.
First of all, just let it go.
I'm done.
If you want a phone call, Mrs. Rossi will speak with you tomorrow.
It's extremely unprofessional.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from visitors?
I just have one quick question.
Sure.
Unless I missed, did you formally or not formally adopt the budget?
It was part of the omnibus today.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from visitors? Okay. Future board meetings. We do have a work study meeting on Monday, April 29th. That's here in the library. We also, if you'll notice, we do have a special meeting. We do have to approve the BOCES budget. So if you can get back to Mrs. Pesci, we do need a quorum. It's going to be at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. It's at the very end of our on April 30th. So just get back to Mrs. Pesci just to make sure that we have a quorum so we can have that vote very quick. You know, we'll be in and out 15 minutes. Okay, so that'll be Tuesday. So we're meeting Monday, and then that's a quick Tuesday meeting at 4 o'clock here in the library like we do annually. And then there'll be a public hearing on the proposed 2019-2020 school budget at a regular business meeting, and that will be on Monday, May 13th. Again, that is Monday at 7:30 here in the library. May I have a motion to adjourn? Mrs. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Benzabega. All in favor? Okay. Passes 7-0. Time being, I'm assuming that's correct, 8:42. Thank you.